Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvater.
I am delighted that today on the Soar to Success podcast, you'll have the opportunity to meet my guest, Ann Blair. She is a woman who carries her heart with her into all of her endeavors, including her current occupation as a real estate agent and broker. She and her husband, Rick, are the owners of RE/MAX Rising. Welcome to the podcast, Ann.
Thank you, Pat.
Really excited to have you here and have everybody get to hear all about you. So
I am as well. I really appreciate it.
Good. So why don't you go ahead and get started by just telling our audience what you do and then really the why behind it.
Okay. I am a real estate professional. I am also a broker and a business owner. My husband and I actually were fortunate enough we were able to open our own brokerage, RE/MAX Rising, this past year. And I do it because, honestly, I love what I do because I actually am one that gets to help people purchase and sell one of the largest investments of their lifetime.
Yeah. It's a very emotional deal, too. So do you like him dealing with everybody's emotions?
Well, let's just put it this way. I feel sometimes like I should have a psychology degree as well.
Yeah, right. So I know that was quite an endeavor for you to get your broker's license. What did you have to go through to get that?
It was. So I've been in business now for 15 years. I've been thinking about it and took my classes actually about 6 years ago for this, but never really went into it. Unfortunately, we had to switch brokerages from one that we had both been with. I had been with it for 10 years previously due to our location issue, and we really wanted to stay here, and we were not in a territory that we were able to stay any longer. So it kind of forced me and my hand into getting my broker's license, and I'm glad I did. I mean, it did take a lot of studying. It was a very difficult test, and even being in the real estate business as long as I had, there was a lot of information that I learned, and I was very glad I went through it.
Oh, good. That's great. Well, what did you do before you sold real estate?
When my kids were young, I'd say 25 years ago, you know, I've always worked 2 and 3 jobs. Mm-hmm. I actually met some friends of mine back in 2003. I met some friends, a husband-wife real estate team. At that point, I just decided that maybe I needed to look into this a little bit to just earn some extra income for, you know, my family at the time. I was in the medical field for over 15 years, and then I was also a parent mentor for families of children with disability for 10 years during that time frame as well, which was my heart. It was very hard for me to leave that job. But when my husband got his license in 2012, it was just too much. Our business really started to take off. I really started to focus more on just real estate. So in 2015, I did real estate full-time, and we have just really blossomed since then.
Yeah. Wow. So so it sounds like you bring your heart wherever you go.
Absolutely. You have to in this business. It's like we had mentioned before, it's so emotional for so many people, and you really have to have the patience and the heart and the kindness to be able to get people through this.
Yeah, right. And so do you like working with the buyers or sellers?
Well, you know, I will tell you, if you would have asked me this about a year ago, I would have said I love working with buyers. I love taking them out. I love seeing the houses. But now this year, I pushed more in getting the listings. You know, they say that in real estate, you have to list to live. And it's true. And so to me, it's actually probably kind of equal right now. Unfortunately, with us owning our own business, I've really had to take a lot of the buyers and give to our buyer's agent, but I still do try to work some of them as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So what's the market like right now in the area where you are?
The market is amazing. Ohio is amazing in general. And I will tell you, we have referrals all over the United States. Today, I talked to one in North Carolina, one in Texas, and one in California, and they're also booming as well. We're doing really, really well. Housing prices are still on the rise or staying on the rise. And interest rates have now dropped. So it's really good for both buyers and sellers at this time.
Yeah. And so I know here in the area where I live, there are houses that are getting sold like the day they come on the market just because there's such a big demand. Is that happening where you are too?
absolutely. Any price point we have, like under 250, our average days on the market is about 6 days. Anything over that, our average is about 42 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You have to make sure you really want to do it when you list your house, right?
Absolutely. Although we've worked with some buyer sellers too, because we always try to tell people it's a lot easier to get your house listed first before purchasing, because most of the time sellers will not accept a house sale contingency if you're selling your home just to the fact that it's too strong of a demand right now. So it's always better. We can always negotiate those closing terms for you.
Yeah, so it's a little tricky though for them, right? So if I'm selling my house, but I don't know where I'm going to go because I can't go buy something yet because my house isn't sold, then I'm like in limbo land. That makes a person like me really nervous. Do you find people are like that?
All the time we do. And that's where good negotiation skills come into play. We can actually sit down with our sellers when they get a contract. We can negotiate the closing date. We can negotiate, a closing date, and then they get to stay in their home for a certain amount of days. We've even had some that we set a closing date, and the sellers actually will rent back to the buyers for a certain amount of time until they find a house. So it's very doable. It's just always good to try to get the house listed first.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right. So what about when somebody is getting ready to buy a home? What are the things they need to do to set themselves up to be in a good position for negotiating if they find something they really like?
So the first thing that we always like to do, whether it's your first-time home buyer, especially first-time home buyers, but even if this is your sixth home to buy and you've never worked with us before, we really like to sit down with you, whether it's at your office or our office, your office, the home, a coffee shop, wherever the case may be, and go over a buyer's consultation. Every day, this market is changing, and there's a lot of regulations that have changed in regards to specific locations. So we'd like to sit down with everybody, go over everything. And like I said, we call it our buyer's consultation, so all of us are on the same page. Your very second step is to make sure your financing is in place. Most offers now, because there's so many multiple offer situations on houses that your sellers and sellers' agents want to see that pre-approval. You have to make sure you contact a lender to, get your information in order. It's also a good thing to know that, because then you know what price range you're looking in and what you can afford and what you're going to be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds really important. So you don't get your heart set on something and then you find out, oops, can't get it.
Correct.
And so what advice do you have for somebody who's thinking about selling their home? Are there certain improvements they should make before they talk to you, or what?
Well, the first thing I will tell you is just make sure you contact a real estate agent. There's a lot that takes place. Before I answer that, I'll tell you that our new admin that we hired, she worked with us both on the selling side and the buying side, and she had no idea what we do on the back end prior to working here. And she's even said, she goes, I just had no idea. You guys just don't get paid enough.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that most women look for is the kitchen and the master bedroom. Men look more for the basement and the garages, their man cave areas. What we try to tell people is just to make sure that wallpaper, some people love wallpaper. Most of the time wallpaper is a hindrance for most people, and they don't want anything to do with it. So depending on what it is, we always recommend you have a real estate agent come in, take a look at the house, and give you recommendations. The biggest value you will get out of your house is freshly paint, new flooring, whether it be carpeting, hardwood, laminate, whatever you need to do, and then just make sure that your kitchen, bathrooms are updated, or they look nice if they're not updated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just, as a sidelight, I was just at my 92-year-old mother's house, the home that I grew up in, and so it's been there forever, and she's been there forever, and the bathroom is pink. And with wallpaper, this lovely gray and pink wallpaper. And my brothers and sisters and I are thinking, like, what are we going to do when it's time for mom to go to an assisted living or something? What are we going to do with this house? So would it be your opinion that bathroom should be gutted and the pink fixtures removed. And
Yes.
You didn't even hesitate when you said that.
I did not hesitate. No. And I will tell you why. Yes, it takes a little bit of work, but you know, $1,000 can turn you around and make you, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 in a turnaround. So it's just, it's important, and you will get your money out of the kitchen and the bathrooms for sure.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about staging a home?
You know, I have mixed feelings about staging. There's some wonderful stagers that are in the area, and they do a great job. And for a lot of the bigger vacant homes, yes, staging is a plus. However, in this market, you know, sometimes if it's in a if it's in an area that is selling quickly, you know, most of the time, by the time we get somebody out there and get the stage, we're already under contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's always better to have a little bit in there, but it's also to depersonalize as much as possible is what's more important than anything.
Mm-hmm. So I remember years ago that they would say, get rid of, clean your closets and get rid of everything that, you know, is your personal favorite knickknacks and stuff like that. Is that still applicable?
It is. You know, there people are going to go through, they're going to open cupboards, they're going to open closets. There's some that I tell them, you know what, you guys are in the process of moving, they're going to open them up, but it's okay. I don't pressure as much on that stuff as I do, depersonalizing, taking down a lot of the knickknacks. People want to see where their stuff can go. The buyers want to see where their stuff can be placed, where their stuff can be. So it's not necessarily, you know, the closets and that kind of stuff. It's the main areas that they're looking for.
Yeah.
So, and that's the same thing going back to the staging thing as well, is that, yes, when a, you know, when a stager comes in, you can really see the placement of sunrooms. But some rooms, you know, people just want a blank slate where they can see and put their own belongings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So that could be an expense that a seller could avoid if they just tidied up their own house. Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're consulting with them, when you're getting the listing to sell their home, do you walk around with them and then tell them, yes, update this bathroom? No, this is fine. That kind of thing?
Yes. We do. So we try to get as much information as we can prior to going into the house. We do our research about the house. We do our research about the area. And then when we go, we like to take a look, and the first thing we do is walk around, and we walk around with the sellers, and they, a lot of times, they will update us on you know, what they've done or what they haven't done, and we will give our recommendations, whether it be to paint, whether it be, you know, your best value will be to, you know, redo this room, or, you know, pull out this carpeting and let the hardwood floors be exposed. What we tell them is, you know, obviously you don't have to do this, but if you want to get the best value for your home, it would be our suggestion to do this.
Yeah, so that sounds really valuable. And I think that in this time, you alluded to this earlier, when the market is so good and it's sort of common knowledge that it's good, people think, well, why do I need a real estate agent? My house will just get snapped right up if I just do it by myself. If they do it by themselves, what are they missing out on?
Well, there's a few things that they could be missing out on. One, the liability of selling your home and making sure that it's done correctly is big for most people. And also, a lot of for sale by owners, they're trying to save money in regards to the commission. That's the, basically the biggest thing that there is. And but the value of what we do, and most of the time, can bring them more money than what they would do for selling it on their own.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so all the costs of advertising and all that stuff that you do, that's all part of what you earn back during your when you get your commission, right? And they'd have
Absolutely
to pay for that themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely it is. And that's the biggest thing I think that people don't realize is, you know, when a seller actually agrees to a commission with a real estate agent, that real estate agent obviously gives a portion of that commission to the buyer's agent. But then also on the selling side of it, you know, they pay for their marketing. They pay for their staff who do the marketing. They pay for a photographer most of the time because pictures are, professional photography is amazing. You know, we have a drone that we have a gal that goes out and does drone with our professional photography. We pay for that. And then we have to pay taxes on that commission as well. So it's a big expense that people don't realize. Yes, you're getting that out of your pocket, but if you have free time to do something else, let the professional handle it.
Yeah, I know. I love the saying, stay in your zone of genius.
You know? I love it.
Yes. So you're not only a real estate professional, but on top of that, being the broker, you are also like operating like a small business owner, and you have the same sort of challenges that other people who are small business owners have, right?
Absolutely, we do. Yeah.
What would you say your biggest challenge is?
I think just balance, trying to get everything balanced in one. I think we are fortunate to the fact that we had our team office in the same location we are in now when we were under our previous brokerage. So we just basically, when we flipped over, it was basically the same thing we were doing. We have an accountant right in our accountant is right in our same building with us. You know, we're in walking distance to our bank. We were very fortunate that way. And I keep saying we because my husband and I own this brokerage together. And he actually is fortunate enough that he basically runs the business aspect of it. I like to say he just pays all the bills. And then I'm actually still running the real estate part of it. So, you know, the buyers and the sellers and our buyer's agent and the office staff. So I think it's a good mix of what we're doing. And, you know, I think down the road, he may eventually want to phase out of that. But I think as a small business owner, it's important that you start out small and just grow as your business grows.
Yes, absolutely. So do you, the two of you, have time for fun?
You know, this year, I will tell you, we are making the time. Last year was our busy, was the first busiest year we've had, even though this year is almost double what we had last year already.
Wow.
But I will say that last year we realized come September we did absolutely nothing in the summer. We pretty much worked 7 days a week, you know, sometimes as much as 12, 14, 16-hour days, and we had no vacation, no breaks. So we decided to go, and we actually got a camper this year. So we go out. We try to go out Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. About an hour away. It just gets us enough out of the office. I will tell you that we have a hotspot. We have a Wi-Fi, a Wi-Fi antenna in our camper. But so even this weekend, I was working on Saturday, but I was sitting in my lounge chair by a campfire working on my computer, and it just got me out of the office.
That sounds exactly like what we do.
Yep.
Not camping, but you can be mobile when you have a business these days to
absolutely
a certain extent. You have to be more front-facing with your clients, but still, that's fabulous that you get to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm very thankful. I mean, we have a great staff. We have, you know, Brooke is our buyer's agent, and she is more than willing at any time I ask, you know, she's willing to run buyers and she's willing to do this. And Liz, who does our photography, does a lot of our marketing stuff. If I need her, she does it. She can come from home. Everybody's pretty local. They can come here to the office. And then Sherry, our admin, I mean, she's on it. Whenever I ask her to do something, she's right there. Mm-hmm. She's doing it. So I have great staff that supports us, and I think that's really the key to our success.
Yes, that's great. Good. So what organizations do you belong to in your community?
Well, as most people say, probably too many. But we think it's important to really give back to our community. You know, the town that we're in is small, and it's a growing community, but it's very important to us that we always give back. So, you know, we are, you know, Geauga Growth Partnership is a great partnership in regards to small businesses. We are involved in the Burton Chamber of Commerce. Both Rick and I are involved in the Burton Middlefield and the Chardon Rotary. We're members of the Geauga Destination. I'm a member of the Red Key. Rick is a board member for United Way as well as Habitat for Humanity. We're both Geauga Leadership grads. I am a member of NABO, which I absolutely love. More on the real estate side of it, this year I've become more involved with the Ohio Realtors. I am a member of the Leadership Academy this year. I'm also a President's Circle member for RPAC, which is the Realtor Political Action Committee, which basically is funding to help, you know, our Ohio government support the needs of homeowners in Ohio. I'm also a member of the professional development there at the Ohio Realtors, and I'm also a board member for the Ohio Realtors representing Lake and Geauga Association. And then on the local
You're making
level,
me tired.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on
go
the
ahead, keep
directors,
going.
Nominating committee, professional standards committee, bylaws committee here for Lake and Geauga Association of Realtors. And then, one thing I forgot that I absolutely love is I am the auxiliary president here for our great Geauga County Fair. My family has been involved for many, many years. My grandfather was involved for over 65 years. And
wow.
I've been involved for 10 years that I absolutely love. So that's kind a little bit of what I do.
Yeah, I guess. Oh,
in
my gosh. How do you have time to go out and show houses?
Somebody had said they needed roller skates to keep up with me sometimes, and I said.
Wow.
So
what's the best way for people to reach you?
There's a couple different ways. The easiest thing is my cell phone, 440-668-1771. I'm very good about answering my phone. And email is ablair@remax.net. And our office email is remaxrisingohio@gmail.com.
Okay, great. Good. So one thing that I always ask everyone who's on the Sort of Success podcast with me are, what are three traits that when you see these traits exhibited in someone, like maybe another leadership Geauga grad or someone that you know are dealing with in your profession, you just know that that person is going to soar to success. So can you give me the three traits that you think are important for people to have?
Honesty is probably the number one thing. You know, you have to be not only honest with yourself, but you have to be honest with other people in order to bring out the best in you and the best in others. Integrity, strong moral principles. I mean, it's important in any sense of business. If you don't have integrity in what you do and the respect for other people, it'll be very surprising if your business does soar. And then kindness to me. I mean, the world needs more. All of us need to be more kind. And I've just been very grateful and thankful and positive. And I think that's what a lot of people say. Is that I'm just kind and I'm patient, and it has helped my business really soar.
Mm-hmm. Great. Those are three great ones. Thank you so much. And thank you very much for being on the Sort of Success podcast with me. It's been a delight talking to you and hearing about how your business is soaring.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.